Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So we're going to get right to it this hour because we have the superintendent of Independence coming on at 4:30. They requested a little bit of time to discuss what we were discussing with you guys yesterday about the district considering going to a four-day school week. And the superintendent will be joining us, Dr. Hurl, at 4:30 this afternoon. Story here from Channel 9. The Harrisonville Aquatic Center is back in business after it went on lockdown on Tuesday afternoon. According to the city, a boy dressed in all black and wearing a Kevlar vest walked along the fence of the pool holding a rifle-style Nerf gun. From a distance, swimmers and lifeguards thought the gun was real. Now, I can hear you having my reaction in the newsroom earlier today when Dana was telling me about this, and I said, come on, it's a Nerf gun. Nerf guns, you can tell that what
and
they look
what
like.
What did I say to you?
And so I watched the story from Channel 9, and this, Sam, you're my witness here. This Nerf gun that this child was carrying looks eerily similar to an AR-15.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Nerf guns over the last 15 years, but when I had Nerf guns, even like the big, scary Nerf guns were still
orange,
bright.
And, or bright green. Yeah, I don't know where you've been if you've not been down the toy aisle in, you know, Target or Walmart or whatever, but when Scott first said, you give me a break, and I go, have you not seen the Nerf guns lately? I mean, do you not remember a couple years ago we had some boys out playing in the woods with airsoft guns?
Yep.
And police were... Yep. Called.
Boys are lucky to be alive.
And those boys are lucky to be alive because one of those boys turned around and pointed that thing at an officer. And in one millionth of a second, the officer did not fire. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be they were playing army in the woods with airsoft guns.
Right. The boy, keep in mind, was dressed in all black, wearing a Kevlar vest, and was walking along the fence of the pool with what looked like, just from a distance, it would definitely look like a real rifle. Okay. Allison Scavo was at the pool on Tuesday with her son. She said they had just gotten inside when it turned to chaos. Allison Scavo is quoted in this Channel 9 story as saying, all of a sudden, lifeguards started yelling to get out of the pool. There was panic, and kids were not running as fast as they should have. So they just started saying, there is a man outside with a gun. She said, everyone rushed inside one of the buildings at the aquatic center. They locked themselves in, barricaded the doors. People were consoling the scared children.
God.
Police arrived within minutes. Once they arrived, they located the individual, and it was determined that the gun was actually a Nerf gun. The child, we don't know how old this boy was.
What time did this happen?
It just says in the afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. It doesn't say specifically. Come on, man. Isn't it crazy enough out there without some kid walking around in all black and a Kevlar vest?
Yeah, I think the Nerf gun is one thing, but once you get to the outfit, that's when you really seem like you're trying to entice some sort of reaction.
I'm going to be honest. The Harrisonville Police Department on Twitter, in all caps, we've confirmed it's a Nerf gun. And I'm not saying they're downplaying it, but to me as a mom, they're downplaying the fear in that moment when Some of these, quote, toys look very real. In the day and age that we are living in, I 100% see why this caused panic. I don't know where this child's parents are. Wait, you're leaving the house to go to the pool wearing what? Carrying what?
Why do you need a Kevlar vest? Is there some sort of training going on over there? A number of people say, where did this happen again? It was at the Aquatic Center in Harrisonville. If you were there on Tuesday.
I'd love to hear from somebody who was there.
If you were there at the Aquatic Center, which is to say the nice pool in Harrisonville, and even if you weren't, it doesn't matter. If you want to weigh in, it's fine. 913-586-7798. How old was this kid? It just says a boy. Are we talking a 12-year-old? Or are we talking, as somebody suggests on the text line, a 17-year-old? How old are we talking about here? And if you were at the Harrisonville pool on Tuesday afternoon when this occurred, 913-586-7798. Somebody says, who created the fear, the Nerf gun or the lifeguard's reaction? I would argue the boy dressed in all black,
wearing a Kevlar vest holding this thing.
And before everybody starts getting crazy and saying, come on, guys, this is an overreaction. It was a Nerf gun. Sam and I watched the video from Channel 9, and they had a replica of this Nerf gun in their story. It looks eerily like a real rifle, like an AR-15. We have Nerf guns at our home. I'll be the first to tell you. We've had them for years. We play, you know, shoot them up down in the basement. The Nerf guns that we have are big. They're orange. They're like freakishly oversized. They don't look anything like a real rifle. This one looks like a real rifle. There's no, even the stock of the barrel of the rifle is black. It looks like an AR-15.
Yeah, I mean, even when I had airsoft rifles growing up, the guns were black. They looked real, but they had a bright orange tip on the end. And I thought that was mandatory if it wasn't a legitimate firearm.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Cassidy in Belton. Hello, Cassidy.
Hi. What's up?
What's up?
How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
I'm calling about, you know, the Harrisonville pool thing, and I wasn't there, but my main concern, it was just, you know, it was a Nerf gun, yes, but why did he feel the need to get a Kevlar vest on, walk around with a fake gun and scare people? It's just something to keep an eye on with that individual, and I hope that it's treated properly by the Harrisonville Police Department. It's just scary.
I'll tell you this. Hats off to the Harrisonville Police Department for not opening fire on this kid. This is one of those situations where...
Do you read somewhere that he was dropped off at the pool?
I did not see that. The boy cooperated with police, did not resist being taken into custody.
One of the stories I read said an inventory photograph of the Nerf gun that Harrisonville officers say the boy dropped at the pool is here. We are grateful. I don't know how to read that. Did the boy drop the gun at the pool, or was the boy dropped at the pool? It's hard to read that because I still can't get my arms around the fact that any parent or caregiver would say, yeah, you're dressed like that. Go into a public place and walk around like that.
Telephone number here, 913-586-7798. Amy and the others, you guys hang tight. You're next here on Dana and Parks. Somebody on the text line just hit me up and said, was the gun painted to look real or something? All the Nerf guns we have look like totally fake. And if you have Nerf guns at home, you know what we're talking about. They're overblown. They're large and they're fumpy looking.
When we were little, they were like lime green, yeah, or like orange.
Yeah, they're we have like three or four at home, and they're bizarre colors, and they're oversized and everything. They look fake. This Nerf gun, based on the story from Channel 9's website, and I would encourage all of you to check that out, looks like an AR-15. It looks like a real gun, but it's a Nerf gun. And this kid was walking outside the fence at Harrisonville Aquatic Center with it on Tuesday, dressed in all black and wearing a Kevlar vest. He was taken into custody, but not without causing a gigantic panic at the pool, sending everybody scrambling out of the water and for cover. I'm curious as to how old this boy is. That's the only way he's described in the story, is as a boy. Amy in Peculiar. Amy, hello.
Hey. So first of all, I'm not sure the picture on Channel 9's website. I've not seen it. My kids were there at the pool yesterday with their martial arts instructor. He saw the child walking across the parking lot. The Nerf gun that the kid had was white. It was not black. It was white.
Okay.
Also, important information, the Aquatic Center is in the Harrisonville City Park. One of the attractions in the Harrisonville City Park is a paintball course.
Where you can also use Nerf gun.
Interesting. Okay.
So the Kevlar vest thing, completely appropriate.
Because there's a paintball place nearby.
Did not know that about the paintball place.
So, Amy, thank you for that. But it none of this changes the fact that I've said this before, we are living in an America with respect to those things that I never wanted to live in, and I don't want that world to look like it for my children. But we are. We're here. This has happened. Uvalde just happened. Well, I cannot sit here and fault anyone who saw that and thought, oh my gosh. And then once you have one person go, everybody out of the pool, chaos erupts because of everything that has happened up to this point in the United States.
That is correct. And I was unaware that it's been a while since I've been to Harrisonville, much less the Harrisonville City Center or Square, whatever. I was unaware that there is a paintball facility right next door. Now, might want to move one of them. Just saying. Because I honestly can see how this happened. This is the America that we now live in.
Let me give you a real-life example of something that happened to me last weekend at the movie theater. Okay, I took my daughter to see a movie. We went and saw Brad Pitt's Bullet Train. We're sitting there during the previews, and as the lights started to dim, you know, you see the Nicole Kidman ad, the lights start to dim, the movie is just getting ready to start. So the previews, Scott, were over. The 45 minutes of previews are over. Lights dim. Movie is starting. Two younger men that were sitting in our row stand up and both walk out together. And they walk, you know, I had to kind of move. Yep, we're fine. Go on. And my first thought was, men generally don't pop up and use the restroom together. My second thought was, if you had to use the restroom, wouldn't you stand up and pop up together to go to the restroom in the 45 minutes prior, right before the movie started? Why would you leave right as the movie is starting? And I could not relax because my mind went there. Why would both men get up and walk out as the movie is starting? It's not 20 minutes in and you think this is a turd of a movie, so we're leaving. It was as it was starting. And I'm sitting there in my mind going, this is how we live now. This is how we live now. And 9 minutes later, both of them walk back. They've got popcorn and drinks. They just chose a very odd time to go get that. But my point in telling that story is that was a real thing in my head, to the point that I thought, should we move seats? I mean, that's weird. You would not have thought that was a little weird?
Strange, but yeah, I don't know that I would have gone into paranoid mode, but it's a little odd. From the text line, two different points of view from 4611. How about you put your paintball crap in a bag? The kid is lucky. All right. And then this one, the Nerf gun is white and orange. It is legal to carry a rifle in Missouri. Where's the issue here? Okay. James in Kansas City. James, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, of course.
Yeah. So a couple of things. Firstly, that texter that you read like way, a bit earlier, where it was like, who created the fear, like the Nerf gun or the lifeguards. I hear that viewpoint and people spazzing that viewpoint. And I just got to wonder how in touch with reality they actually are. Like, even if the gun was right, there's a whole subsect of the gun problem that is 3D printed ghost guns that are usually made out of white plastic.
Yeah.
And so, like, and in cases like this where you where things go wrong and some poor kid who, whether they were trying to get a rise out of people or not, or whether they were playing army in the woods or whatever, ends up dead, the first thing that you hear typically from the police or, like, a spokesperson or whatever is that the police acted as though there was a real threat because they thought there was a real threat.
Yeah.
And I feel like the lifeguards and the staff at the Aquatic Center had the exact right response. They had realistically no way of confirming whether or not it was a real threat without getting too close to find out.
Yeah, and your gut goes, you know what, I'm not going to take any chances. And James, I didn't want to bring up that case, but I will. And was it a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old boy that was at a picnic table, remember this, in a park, and the officers got out, and that poor kid had a airsoft gun or something that looked real but wasn't, and he was shot and killed.
You're talking about this case out of Cincinnati years ago?
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago, but yes.
Somebody on the text line writes in at 5740, the Harrisonville Aquatic Center is in a huge park, the Harrisonville City Park. The Aquatic Center is at the very entrance of the park. The paintball area is in the very back. They are not next to each other. They're not even close to each other. You have to drive through the entire park to get to the paintball area.
Thank you.
All right. Gary in Overland Park. Gary, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Real quick, I think on your morning show this morning, they said that boy was 17, so they talked about that a little bit. But okay. I wanted to chat a little bit about the focus that everybody seems to put on the color of the gun, or if it has an orange tip, not only in this circumstance, but some of the others that, I mean, to me, I mean, do people not think that someone knows how to use some orange tape or a can of spray paint to make their gun, you know, have an orange tip or paint it lime green or whatnot?
Right. And Gary, you can buy pink guns now. You can buy guns that have Hello Kitty on them. You can buy real weapons that look like toys. And we've talked about that on the program before. And you're going to ask me to sort that out in a split second where I'm somewhere in a public place with my child? Hard pass.
Exactly. This kid, who knows what was really in his mind, but I think he got the reaction that he was looking for. And he's like others have said, he's lucky that he's still alive.
Yeah. And the simple fact of the matter is, and Gary, thank you for the call, this is just the world that we now live in because of situations like Uvalde, Buffalo, New York, Highland Park, Illinois. And that's just to name a few over the last couple of months. I'll be honest. If I saw a kid walking around at that age, 17 years of age, dressed in all black, wearing some kind of a vest, and people are arguing on the text line whether it was tactical gear or Kevlar, doesn't matter.
How am I supposed to know that?
And I'm
not yelling at our listeners, but how am I supposed to? Oh, actually, that looks like Kevlar. Stand down, everybody. I'm not going to know the difference between those two things.
And carrying a gun that looks, even if it's Nerf, that looks like a real rifle, let's just be honest with the times that we live in. This is the world that we now live in. I'm not surprised at all that chaos erupted at the Harrisonville Aquatic Park.
I feel so sorry for those kids that were there. So sorry for the lifeguards that were there, probably teenagers.
Dr. Dale Hurl, the superintendent of the Independent School District, is already on the hotline. They have requested a couple of quick minutes to address a topic that we had on the air yesterday. The idea that has been floated in the Independent School District of studying a four-day school week. The superintendent, Dr. Dale Hurl, will join us here on Dana and Parks in just a moment.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Story here is from Fox 4, and then we'll get with the good superintendent here in just a moment. Fox 4 reported leaders in one Jackson County school district are considering a big schedule shift. On Tuesday night of this week, the Independent School District's board voted unanimously to consider the benefits of a four-day instructional week. This would not affect the school year that begins in 11 days on August 22nd. More than 25% of Missouri school districts have already shifted or are in the process of shifting to a four-day schedule. Most of them are rural. Independence leaders anticipate a long decision-making process that could last for months and affect more than 14,000 students and their families. Joining us on the KMBZ hotline is the superintendent of the Independent School District, Dr. Dale Hurl. Doctor, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Love your show, and please call me Dale.
Oh, thank you, Dale. That's hard to do, but because you have that doctorate and you earned that doctorate. We could not believe how robust this conversation and topic became in very short order yesterday afternoon. I'm not sure how much, if any, that you caught, but people have very passionate feelings about this on both sides of this coin.
Oh, I did catch a little bit of it. I actually tried to call in several times. Dana, I love your laugh.
We should just give you the hotline, sir, but go ahead.
Yes, and what I really want to emphasize, first of all, we're just looking at this. No decision has been made at all, and it would not be until next school year. And, you look at education, and the model that we use is basically the same one that we've used since the 1800s, based around a farming economy. And where you have summers off, and what's wrong with having a discussion about maybe a different way to look at education, one that could be good for kids, and there's always people that are going to dispute that, but could be great for attracting and retaining staff as well. So we just want to have the conversation.
Doctor, one of the concerns that we did hear from folks who were not, at least initially, in favor of going to a four-day school week, and I understand it's just under consideration. You guys are just beginning the process of looking at that idea. But one of the concerns was, well, what do we do as working parents with our child on that one day during the week, whether it would be a Monday or a Friday or whatever, when the school is not open? Would there be, at least, is there talk of some sort of daycare or city-sponsored or district-sponsored care for children?
You know, that is our number one concern, to be honest, and the thing that we're going to put a lot of thought into. I've talked to superintendents from across the U.S., and the one thing that's almost to the T with every single one of them is that was their biggest concern. It ended up not being near as big a deal as what they initially thought. Now, with us, we have a very large early childhood program as well as a before and after school program. There would certainly be a situation where we would offer some sort of care on whether it's the Monday or Friday. Yeah. And I just look at all of the different possibilities. Let's think about this educationally. So, typically what happens is you expand your school day, 45 minutes to an hour. And, normally it's either a Monday or a Friday off. But think about, the kids that maybe don't perform as well academically, the extended learning time that you could have, the additional tutoring that you could provide, even other learning opportunities like taking kids to museums. I even look at it on a discipline standpoint. You know, if a kid gets in trouble, rather than suspend them to school from school, make them come in on Monday. I think that's much worse of discipline than letting them out of school.
So we got into the weeds of a study from edweek.org. It's a story about this pretty extensive study. They looked at 1,600 other districts across the country that have done this. The results of that study, I have to be honest, really surprised me, with a very high percentage of students, staff, and parents saying they really liked the four-day schedule. One of the things that kind of got into the weeds a little bit was cost and the benefits and drawbacks of the cost effectiveness of doing this. So I want to start by asking you with where you would save money. And is it a drop in the bucket, or when you look at transportation costs like bus costs, when you take away that fifth day, what does the cost savings look like?
Well, the very first myth I want to dispel is that this is about finances at all, because it's not. Me personally, if we would have any savings on this, I would love to put it back into extended learning opportunities that we have on that day off.
Okay.
So we are not going into this at all thinking, you know, we need to save, you know, X amount of dollars, because that's not the point of this whatsoever.
You mentioned in the beginning teacher retention and attraction or recruitment. How would that work? Why would a four-day school week, I imagine the teachers, from everything we've read, would still be doing some sort of work on that fifth day. How does this benefit you, if it is adopted and approved, ultimately, how does this attract and retain teachers?
I think if you look at the studies, as you referenced the Ed Week, and there are hundreds of peer-reviewed studies regarding this, it is exceptionally well received by staff. And it doesn't mean that you have staff in every, let's just use Monday as your non-student day.
Okay.
Maybe you have professional development one Monday a month, and maybe the third Monday is a work day. So the second and fourth staff, they're off.
So that maybe they don't have to take as much of their work home with them, which we always hear the teachers say they end up doing.
Right. You know, so much of this is about having a work-life balance. You know, through COVID, we heard so much of that, not just in education, but with every profession. People liked working from home. That's obviously not a possibility with education, but maybe having a better work-life balance. And teachers do put an inordinate amount of time in outside of when they have kids in school. So giving them the opportunity, and maybe that Monday is that chance, even if they were not required to be there, but maybe they go in for a few hours that they otherwise would have done on a Sunday and had to take that time away from their family.
We're speaking with Dr. Dale Hurl, the superintendent of the Independent School District, and the school board on Tuesday night unanimously approved looking at the possibility of going to a four-day school week. And I think the district has been very clear this would not affect the upcoming school year, which begins on August 22nd.
Yeah, welcome back. You don't have child care.
Right.
That does not work. Go ahead.
Doctor, I'm sure it comes as no surprise, and I'm sure you've probably, if not been informed of it, read it. The Stars editorial board was scathing today in regards to this idea. And let me just read you a sentence from their editorial. A four-day school week is a gimmick, not much different from the used car salesman putting a new paint job on a clunker with a bad transmission. How would you respond to that?
Well, I guess the editorial board doesn't have Google, because all you have to do is Google four-day week. There's over 100,000 references to a four-day week and more than 250 peer-reviewed articles. That, first of all, this is not new. They've had a four-day week since the 1980s. In 2009, the Missouri legislature allowed this to go into effect where you could have a four-day week. So to say it's a gimmick, that's completely false. And even to some of the statements like it would harm academic achievement, you look at the studies, they're either inconclusive, or if there is an academic difference, it's very slight.
It was nominal.
It was nominal. So like I said, I don't believe they did any research whatsoever looking at this topic.
To your point, the edweek.org study that we keep referencing, which is very extensive, found that student performance was different between a five-day school week and a four-day school week by 0.05% of a point.
Right. And, you know, when I look at what we would love to consider doing, and that's enrichment or kids that are behind, you know, what a great opportunity to have them come in on a Monday and for teachers to gain additional pay tutoring students on that Monday.
Well, and what I've read, Dr. Hurl, is that it has helped in these studies with burnout, with teacher burnout, especially that second to fifth year where so many teachers have gotten their degrees, they go into education, and then they just can't make it over that hump, year two, three, four, into five, where you statistically lose the bulk of your staff.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Just looking at Missouri, and this is information from DESE, which is the Department of Elementary and Secondary Ed. You know, they say that 45% of teachers leave the profession prior to their third year. Wow. And 55% leave before their fifth year in teaching. So, you know, and there's many reasons for that. You know, about 80% of teachers are female. So some of them have families, they stay home. But if this does help with burnout, so the retention, again, I go back to why not have the conversation?
While we have you here, we would be remiss if we did not ask quickly about bus driver staffing issues and lunch lady staffing issues, support staff issues. To what extent is your district seeing those problems that we have talked about around other parts of town here?
You were seeing them just like everybody else. You know, luckily we are good with, you know, with our custodial crew and nutrition service. It's bus drivers that's really difficult to find. You probably have seen, we actually had to change our walk boundaries for our secondary students only from a mile to 1.5 miles. And that was simply, we did not have enough drivers to effectively run those routes. Now, the good thing is, with so much publicity about us doing that, we have received a number of applications. Still not to the point where we can change that, but you know, if we can keep our staffing up, it's something that we would possibly revisit at semester, but more than likely would not be till next year.
Dr. Dale,
maybe the 4-day week. You know, again, going back to retention, that's just not teachers. That's all employees. Maybe the 4-day week is something that helps us retain bus drivers.
Dr. Dale Hurl, the superintendent of the Independent School District, appreciate your time. It was a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
But thank you very much for having me.
Have a good school year.
All right, there it is. School starts, by the way, in 11 days. This will not affect the upcoming school year in Independence. For all of you kids getting too excited right now, you will be going to school 5 days a week. Just so we're clear. Telephone number is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. A huge thank you to Betty and her friend, who drove all the way up from Ottawa before the show today with some very nice gifts, not the least of which
so cool
was a framed Top Gun Maverick movie theater poster.
What?
Yes. And I am in love with it because it is, without question, the greatest movie of all time.
Do you know the other thing that I did not know about Ottawa, Kansas? And they even printed out a story for us to pass this along because I did not know this and I think it's the coolest thing ever. Its movie theater has been recognized for its longevity. It is the oldest continuously operating movie theater in the world, and it's in Ottawa, Kansas. Mm-hmm. The oldest continuously operating movie theater in the world.
What great, amazing broadcaster got his start in Ottawa, Kansas?
I was going to say Bill Curtis, but I'm worried you're going to say it was you.
It was me. Wow, that hurt.
No, I'm just saying.
Come on. Come on, Sam.
So that is cool. Huge thanks to them for coming by and educating us a little bit on that theater in Ottawa. Who knew?
That I got my start in Ottawa?
That you got your start in Ottawa.
KOFO, 1220 country. Hey!
Did anyone else spend all night last night doing a Grease sing-along to that fabulous movie in honor of Olivia Newton-John? We did. And
did you, was it on TV or
yes,
did you?
I just found it. You just Google it and you'll find it. It's just out there on streaming.
Oh, okay.
And I saw this week that Joplin is now going to have a drive-in experience in honor of Olivia Newton-John and that great film. And you can come out to their old drive-in and they're going to show Grease, which is super cool. I am waiting, and please text us if you know, for someone in Kansas City to do this as a tribute to her. And I don't care if it's Union Station. I want to do a sing-along.
B&B.
Anyone that is going to do that. And I'm guessing after her passing, we're going to start seeing that in Kansas City. I hope we do. I hope the musical comes back.
Do movie theaters have to...
Yeah, like get permission?
Well, or order the film? Or do they just have all these old films just laying around?
Scott, that is such a good question because, you know, they bring back Jaws, like for the 30th anniversary. They brought Jaws back.
They brought back...
E.T.'s coming back.
Dirty Dancing's coming back.
For
its 35th anniversary.
I don't know if it's the studios that have to be involved in that or if you can just pull it out like an old record and throw it up on the screen.
I would imagine if you're selling tickets to it, the studio, which would... then mean the actors and everybody involved would have to get a portion of your box office.
You would think.
If you're just going to pull an old movie out of the archive and throw, I mean, why wouldn't you throw Star Wars back up a couple, every year? Hey, it's the anniversary of the release of Star Wars. Let everybody come to the movie theater and watch it again on the big screen.
They definitely work out a deal with the studio saying, hey, we're going to air this again, probably at a much discounted rate from the initial airing.
Sure, yeah, of course. But Dana's right. I mean, why wouldn't the B&Bs and AMCs just, you know, set one theater, one screen in your theater complex for Grease? Like, people would come back out and watch it.
They're doing it. I just haven't seen it here. So in Lockport, New York... they are going to show this at a drive-in this week, and in honor, 100% of all ticket sales will be donated to her Olivia Newton-John Foundation Fund.
Oh, that's great.
And that is an organization dedicated to researching herbal medicines for cancer treatment. So it's starting to happen. I mean, I know she just passed a couple days ago. Just text us if you know this is coming to Kansas City, because I really want to go back and see it.
I've never seen Grease. I don't think anybody in my house has seen Grease.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's all right.
We dance like crazy.
What kind of house are you running over there?
Well, first of all, we watch like Red Dawn and Footloose and stuff like that. That's what we do at our house.
We did the hand jive last night in our home.
Had your kids ever seen the movie before? Of course.
And the musical.
Of course. Of course.
The hand jive is a must-do when you're watching Grease.
Scott, yesterday during the show, when you were saying something that I didn't find particularly interesting,
which was all 4 hours,
Googling, where can I go see Grease the musical? Because I got the idea in my head to hop on an airplane and go see it.
Okay.
That's how badly I'm sad that she has passed and how great that musical is.
Okay.
If you're listening, Starlight, please bring it back.
Okay. All right. Don't forget, by the way, Sunday, August 21st, speaking of Starlight, Dana Wright will be in the play Sister Act.
Yeah.
Sunday, August 21st, out at Starlight.
It's a small part, but it's important.
You play the Pope.
I mean, that's a big part.
Quick break for the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.